Hey everybody, this is Pastor John Tafaro of Celebration Italia, and this is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. Welcome you, and also I hope this message blesses you, builds your faith, and inspires your walk with God. Please enjoy the message.
We're going to continue with this theme. This is the evidence of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, moving in our community, moving in our homes. We don't want to ignore the Holy Spirit, but we want to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We want to give space to the Holy Spirit. We want to welcome the Holy Spirit in every angle and aspect of our lives. In order to do so, sometimes we need to understand that there are areas, there are moments, there are seasons that we need to change. And if there's anybody who knows about change, if there's anybody who knows about moving, I think I'm speaking to the right crowd. Isn't that right? Yes. I know. Thank you, Chaba. I know that you guys know what it means to continually be moving and packing and going and changing culture, changing country, changing language, changing food, and changing friends, and changing neighbors, and changing. There is so much change going on. But how many of you would appreciate that perhaps the biggest change that we need needs to happen inside of us? Needs to happen from in here. Because no matter how many times we try and change the elements around us, but sometimes the elements around us can help, can be useful, can certainly guide you in a certain direction, but real change, when it comes to our hearts, when it comes to our souls, when it comes to our lives, needs to come from the inside. And you see, the facilitator of that change is the Holy Spirit. If we understand that the Holy Spirit, that this third person of the Trinity, third, not because it's a lower element, but because it's just the third, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, when we understand that the Holy Spirit facilitates change in our lives, facilitates change in our souls, we want to look out for it. We want to welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives. But we need a change. There are moments that we know that in whatever moment we're living, we're not in a good place. There are times that we look at ourselves and we think, man, I'm just not in a good place. I'm not doing well in this place, metaphorically speaking, in our spiritual lives. So what do we do about it? And how do we go around about that? I read this quote and I think it's pretty accurate and I would agree with it. Whenever it comes to change, concerning change, 20% of making any changes is knowing how to make a change. 80% is actually knowing the why. If we know the why, okay, then 80% of the job is already done. If we know why we need a change, if we look at our hearts and know that we are far from God, if we understand that the predicament, the situation we're in is not a right way, not a right place to be, and if we know the why, then most of the work is already done. The how, that will come. How am I going to change this? Or how am I going to change this other area in my life? And how am I going to get through this? That will come. But what we need to understand is the why behind it. Why I need a change. I need a change. Why? Because my natural instincts, okay, my human nature will naturally lead me away from God. That's my natural instinct. It will lead me away. It will drift me the opposite direction than to God. So if my natural instinct is drifting me away, what must I be doing? We need to be intentional, okay? Intentional of equipping ourselves, of welcoming the Holy Spirit in our lives, and saying and grasping hold of, I want to drift not away from God, but I need to be drifting towards God. Amen? It's on our way here to church this morning. And when we come to church, we go through Caserta and some of the surrounding villages. It only takes 10, 15 minutes to get to church for us. And this morning, as we were traveling to come to church, we drive by, I don't know, at least three or four different churches, little chapels, little churches. As you know, that in Italy, nearly in, I'm not saying in every street corner, but you bump into a lot of churches. I don't know whether you noticed that, okay? It's either pizzerias or churches in Italy, okay? You can't go wrong. And you would think, okay, that people would be super spiritual. You'd think that people would be great Christians in Italy because, you know, that's where the Pope lives and that's what people think. And I was amused this morning that as I was driving in through the little streets, through the little roads, there's this little church there and there was this elderly person on his bike. And there's this custom tradition that Italians do that whenever they walk or drive in front of a church, they do, have you noticed, they do the sign of the cross, okay? Which, okay, fair enough, they do that. Oh, why was I amused this morning? Because this elderly person was on his bicycle and he was cycling in front of the church and he wanted to do the cross with one hand. The other hand, he wanted to travel on his bike and doing two things at the same time nearly ran him, not me, another car, nearly ran him over. He got run over by another car, nearly. He's good. He's okay, okay. But in doing that, he was like this and like all over the middle of the road. And I was going, oh, look at him. He's going to get himself killed just to do the sign of the cross. I wonder how good was that for him, okay, to get to do the sign of the cross to get himself run over. Which, why am I saying this? Sometimes we do things for the sake of religion, convinced that what we're doing will get us somewhere. The only place that person was going to go was to the cemetery another half a mile down the road. Well, because we're convinced that sometimes our traditions and our religion, okay, will get us to a point that it could do something for us. But let me tell you this, that religion has never saved anybody. Tradition has never saved anybody. I was seeing it in front of my eyes. Actually, it was killing people. And many people would argue that many wars that are going on in the world, and a lot of you guys obviously know this better than me, is because of so-called religion, is because of claiming some kind of rights or tradition or whatever have you. So religion is not going to get us anywhere. Tradition is not going to get us anywhere. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be instructed, and I mentioned that last week, that we need to go from the natural to the supernatural, not only understanding things in a natural way or in a mental way, what it means and, you know, understanding Jesus and his life, but we need to experience the supernatural in our elements in our lives, which is the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I just want to share with you that if we want to see change in our lives, we need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives. So if we need change, and we know that we need change, we need to get rid of our selfish, useless, and trivial desires to live a life which is full and meaningful in Christ, which has nothing to do with tradition and religion, has everything to do with a relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. That is the relationship which I'm about to read to you in John 15, which Jesus wants with each and every single one of us. Are we ready to go? Okay, we can be a little bit more enthusiastic than that. Okay. Are we ready to roll? Let's go, John 15. You can look it up on the screens, on the sides here. John 15, verse 4. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I love these verses I really do love these verses because I believe they're so profound. We can't get by the first verse, you know, without going into it so deep and seeing how it applies into our life. So I will try and be as brief as I can without forsaking, if you like, some of the most important parts of these scriptures, of these verse. It is the remaining in the vine, which is fundamental, which is important. It starts these verses, abide in me, remain in me, live in me. I think it's so profound, so important that we understand the importance of what it means abiding in, remaining in, staying in a place that we are not detached, but we are attached. In a place that we don't take distance, but we actually close the distance. God created man and mankind, if you like, not to create a distance, but to close that distance. To be, if you like, one with him. To be in his likeness. And what is his likeness? His likeness is unity. His likeness is oneness. His likeness is to be in one accord with you and I. That's his desire. That's what he wants. That's what he wishes of you. And he is saying this about you. Me? Yes, you and me, obviously. He is saying, abide in me and I in you. I like how there's, this is a complicated word to pronounce, but I'll try my best. Reciprocity. Thank you, Brett. Okay, reciprocity. For those of you watching online, there's subtitles underneath here. I love how there's that reciprocity. I love how there's that abide in me and I in you. I love, it's not just you doing your part. It's if you do your part, I'm going to do my part. It's not only you and me, but I in you. It's not only, guys, you got to go out of your way to see what you guys got to do to be around me. But the way Jesus, in his words, puts it is, guys, if you lean into me, if you abide into me, there's one thing you can bank on, there's one thing you can guarantee on, is that I'm going to be with you. And if there's words that today mean so much for us, means so much for you, which has so much weight, has so much meaning, is the very fact that Jesus says, I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to abide with you. I'm going to be there by your side. I don't know about you, but sometimes we live life thinking that we're on our own. Sometimes we live life thinking that there's no one around us, no one we can count on, no one we can look up to, no one we can look by our side. Now, I get that. Partially, not like you guys. I've not lived what you guys are living and have lived and probably will be living. I don't know what it means to, as much as you guys, to be completely on your own on the other side of the world. I don't really understand, grasp that 100%. But one thing I do know is that when Jesus says something, he means it. And if he says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. I know one thing is for certain, that we can be guaranteed that Jesus is on our side. There is no way, let me put it this way, there is no way, looking at these verses, that we can be put in a position of producing fruit, if you like, if we're not connected to the vine, if we're not connected to the plant, if we're not connected to Christ himself, there is no way we can produce. There's nothing good that ever can come out of us if we're not connected to Christ. So there's something which needs to happen. We need to be abiding in. We need to be connected to. We need to be in that position between the vine and the branches. Us as branches, we need to be connected to the vine. There is an art. There is something which people who are familiar with plants and all of that, there is this practice called grafting. Anybody heard of grafting? When you graft a plant. Okay, there you are, William. Your green thumbs. There you go. Okay, and green shirt as well. You are familiar. What is grafting? Very briefly, I was accustomed to grafting because my mother, she used to do this with her plants. She loves plants. She has all sorts of plants. She had hundreds of plants around the garden. And I remember in the garden, I was a little boy and I loved, obviously, football. I didn't really like gardening. And with my football, I would do a lot of damage, okay, to my mom's beautiful plants. And after that, my mother would do a lot of damage to me. But anyway, that's another sermon. I remember I used to do a lot of damage to those plants. And my mother, she would graft the plants. What she would do, after I would probably kick the football next to a plant, like one of the branches, one of the stems would probably be like this. She would grab it and she would graft it. What she would do, she would get a stick or get some kind of, to me, it looked like tape, but it was wax. And she would just wrap it around, you know, the same. You could do it also, you can mix it around. You can get a branch from another tree and put it on the tree. And just that coming around, that bringing in, making that one again, reestablish life to that broken branch. I've got a picture for you. You can look it up. No, it's not my mom's plant, but it's just one random one I found on the internet. So what there you see, like a twig could be broken, or You can get another twig from another tree and put it together on a healthy branch, if you like. And doing that grafting, doing that oneness, over time, these two pieces actually become one piece. They grow into each other. They get grafted into each other. It becomes one, okay? So what happens is, that the root, the second piece underneath, okay, brings life, okay, to the piece that had been damaged or the piece that you want to bring into. Because sometimes it's not even about damaged plants. Sometimes people just want to graft to make it more robust. A younger twig to a more robust, if you like, part of the plant just makes it more robust, and that's what people do, okay? So what happens is the life from here actually starts coming into here, which is lifeless, and then this starts growing and this starts budding. Two separate entities that become one. And that, I believe, is the example that needs to be applied in our spiritual life. Sometimes we've been damaged. Sometimes we've been snapped. Sometimes stuff has happened to us that we feel disconnected or separated. Jesus is inviting us to be grafted with him. He's saying, abide in me and I will abide in you. Lean on me and I will give those nutrients that you need so that you can be strong and healthy. So that abiding comes from the work of the Holy Spirit, which works in our lives, who gives us those nutrients, that aids us, that shows us, that guides us. But the grafting needs to happen. What does that mean? That you are no longer an individual identity. You're no longer on your own, but you're now identified in that other piece of the tree that you saw there. In other words, in the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians, he would say, it's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. That is the picture what we saw first of these very words which the Apostle Paul would say. It is no longer I that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's no longer something which I have to make shift or make do on my own, but I am grafted into Christ. And because of Christ's nutrients and his Holy Spirit going through me, because I'm grafted in him, I can now actually bear the fruits which I should be bearing. Jesus actually, in his words, in what we read here, actually highlights this thing. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. All too often, we want to go solo. We want to become a one-man band, okay? We want to do it on our own. We don't want to become accountable to no one. We don't want to be accountable to nothing. We think that on our own, we're better. We can go farther. We can do whatever we think we can do. Jesus speaks loud and clear. apart from me, apart from him, and what he represents. And what he represents. He represents love, goodness, peace, joy. We read that in a minute. Everything he represents. Apart from that, if we want to distance ourselves from that, there's no way we're going to survive. And we saw the testimony of Sarah and David saying, hey, it's because not so much of me. It's not about me. It's about you. What really has been encouraging for them is you guys coming together. It's your serving, your children, and that element coming together, which made them, okay, bring the fruits in their lives, bring them to the point that they're in today. And that's what we need in our lives, okay? That's what we need. We need to understand that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. I know that sometimes we look at our partners and we look at our husbands and look at our wives and we say, apart from you, we can do nothing. And I know that, I know we mean that, and that's all good, okay? That's all good. But the reality, the fact is that apart from Christ, apart from God, in our marriages, okay, we can't do nothing. No matter how hard we try in our relationship, in our marriage, under the same roof, if the equation of God is out of it, it's going to be tough. We can't take away God outside of our relationship. He needs to be the center of our relationship. Any married men and women can say amen to that. Okay, if you didn't say amen, I don't think you're going to be married long. Young men and women, young sailors, let me tell you this, okay? There you go. Don't put your hands in your head. Okay, let me tell you this. Any young ladies in the house? Okay, that's another song. So let me tell you this. Let's put Christ at the center of our relationships. He needs to be at the center. He needs to be there. It's not an option, okay? I'm waiting for my Prince Charming. Let me tell you, okay? Before a Prince Charming, it needs to be a God Charming person. Amen? Okay, it needs to be, okay, a God-fearing person, a person that can love you, sustain you, and do life together. Whether, you know, I want to encourage that. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Time is running out. I'm getting old. I'm 21 years old. Okay? Time is not running out. I know a lot of us used to say that. Somebody might be saying, well, I'm 33 and I still haven't found anyone yet. Well, don't worry about it. Look at Jesus. He was 33 and they killed him. I'm just saying. There's plenty of time, okay? There's plenty of time, okay? Don't panic. Don't panic. God knows all things. Amen. Amen. Anybody waiting? So if you're waiting for your Prince Charming or your Princess Charming, okay? Okay, believe it. Wait for God, okay? Because he's got it under control. Amen? No, you married guys, don't say amen. Just the single people. Amen? Okay. Why is everybody looking over here? There's some people over here as well. I'm just saying, just over here in the name of Jesus. Okay. So change comes from within. It's got to come from within. It's got to come from within. With the word, change does not come from the external into the internal. If only I go to my designated place where I'd like to go next. If only I could have grown up in a half-decent home. If only I could have had better parents or better children or better whatever have you. Guys, it's not the surroundings that's going to change anything, even though I'm not diminishing the importance sometimes, you know, being in the right settings. That can sometimes help, but that does not determine, okay, your spiritual life, does not determine your way of moving forward. Amen? Change needs to happen from the inside. Because it's not your outward appearance that is going to change your inward inclinations. It's not how you, metaphorically speaking, dress up on the outside that's going to change you on the inside. Jesus also addressed this. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Beware of those who proclaim to be holy, proclaim to be men and women of God. Beware of these people who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by what? By their? Okay. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. So in other words, friends, it's not what you see on the outside, okay, that's going to determine or make you understand what's going on the inside. Or there's a saying that we say, we can't judge a book by what? It's, okay, you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't judge a person's character by only looking on the outside. Friends, let me tell you this, okay? The only thing which shows who we are is the fruit of what we're producing. What is it we're producing? When I say producing, I'm not talking about on a production line. When I say we're producing is what are we producing in our lives? What's coming out of us? What are people seeing that's coming out of us? That people are going to say, okay, that's fair enough, Mateo. I can see there's fruit there. I can see there's good stuff coming out of you. And what's coming out of you is blessing people and blessing people around you. We shouldn't be focused. We shouldn't be focused on getting ourselves right on the outside only. Observe your life. See what's going on in your life. Look at yourselves. If you look at yourselves today, we've all got, or most of us have got, our Sunday best on, haven't we? Okay? We put on our Sunday best and we look so holy, rolling up in a car, waving at everybody. Then perhaps just a few miles away, we were perhaps blessing somebody as they were cutting our roads in front of us. Then we come round the corner. Pastor John, praise God, I had such a wonderful week. And somebody walked by, no, he didn't, he had a terrible week. He was cussing everybody at work. We don't want to just put our Sunday best. Our Sunday is not just to present ourselves in a certain way. What we see here is the fruit of something which we've been doing all week long. Been serving all week long. We've been praising God all week long. We don't need to wait for a Sunday morning to be praising, to be singing, and to be praying, and to be in an atmosphere of praise. Something which has happened daily in our lives, every day in our homes, every day with our children, every day with our spouses, every day and every occasion that we have to be praising God. Change is not going to happen because you're going to just be coming to church every weekend, which is not bad. It's a good thing. But that's not going to guarantee you that change. What's going to guarantee you change is when the welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives and welcome Him and say, Lord, I'm yielding to your Spirit. I'm yielding to you and do whatever needs to be done in my life. Jesus in Matthew 7 goes on to say about diseased tree. And the truth of the matter is that by default, we are a diseased tree. By default, there's nothing we can do about it. We're messed up by default. When we come into this world, we come into a rotten world. We come into a sinful world. We come into a place that it's already gone bad. So our natural instinct and inclination seems to go in a certain way. You don't believe me? Let's read together in Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, he expands this thought of what it means, okay? The difference between, if you like, the desires of your sinful nature, of our sinful nature, and the fruits of the Spirit. The difference between these two areas. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says this. You can follow the words on the screens, on the sides here. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And I'm reading, just to make it clear, I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It's a translation more modern, like the words are slightly more modern than perhaps your traditional New King James Version or whatever you're using. And it says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. These are, if you like, the fruits, if you like, these are the desires of your sinful nature by default. This is what you drift to, okay, naturally. But let me tell you, these things, as we continue to read in Galatians, even chapter 4 as well, you can read it. These things are enmity towards God. It is opposed towards God. Why? Because it's dragging us, okay, into sin, and sin leads to death. It's dragging us away from God. Whereas, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit comes and brings you His fruits. Something starts to happen in you. Something starts to happen that whether you're conscious about it or not, okay, you start to change from the inside. Something starts to happen from the inside. You see that things start growing, okay, metaphorically speaking, in your life. Aspects about you that you hadn't noticed before, but now, because you accepted Christ, because you're getting closer towards God and you're welcoming the Spirit in your life, things are starting to happen in your life. Let's read together out of Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. We're going to read, what are the fruits of the Spirit? What are the manifestation, if you like? What are we going to see when the Spirit, actually, we yield to the Spirit and welcome to the Spirit? What is it we're going to see? Let's read together Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Friends, let me tell you, when we read these verses, what our natural instinct is overwhelming. Oh my goodness. I hardly have any of all this. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed with this list and we say, oh, we give up before we even start. But let me tell you, the Apostle Paul, he encouraged us. He was saying, if we live by the Spirit, this is the good news. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean, keeping in step with the Spirit? It means that when you keep in step with somebody or something, okay, what happens is that you at the same rhythm, you're in step. The Spirit is changing you. And usually what happens, it changes you in a gradual way. We don't plant, okay, the seed, if you like, of your peach you're eating, okay? You don't plant it in the ground, and the following morning you wake up and you expect to see peaches on a tree. It doesn't happen like that, okay? You don't plant seeds of an apple in the ground, and the next morning you wake up and you see an apple tree and with apple pies off it. It doesn't happen, does it? Okay. So what happened? There's a process that needs to happen. The more we yield to the Spirit, the more we let the Spirit take place and take its natural place in our life, we see that these fruits start blossoming, start coming out. And we start to notice that we have more love. We start to notice that we have more joy. We start to notice that we have more peace. We start to notice that we're having more patience and we're having more kindness. It not always happens overnight, even though I've seen it, that perhaps overnight people have been radically changed. We've seen it. And I'm not putting it by the Spirit. He can do that as He chooses and wishes. But most times what we tend to see more naturally, or not naturally, what we tend to see more usually, okay, is that as you make space for Christ in your life, as you make space for the Holy Spirit to move in your life, we see that these elements start to appear. We start seeing a fruit here, and we start seeing a fruit there. The fruit, okay, is unequivocal evidence of the Spirit. It is the fruit that we see the evidence of the Spirit. It's not anything else. It's not some kind of other things that we see that perhaps we may think that it is the evidence of the fruit. No, it is this, what we've just read. And you see, willpower alone is not going to change your situation. Willpower alone is not going to change your situation. How many of us perhaps have tried? I'm going to have more patience. 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 Who are you looking at? I'm going to have more patience. I'm going to have more patience. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be kinder. And we, as soon as we have the opportunity, we're slaying someone down with words. I'm going to be more joy. I'm going to have joy. And we put on our beautiful, joyful music. And then next second, I'm going to have kindness. I'm going to set out. I'm going to be kind to somebody. And then doesn't happen. Willpower is not going to change. It has to come from the inside. We need to let the Holy Spirit, welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives. And how do we do that? How can we facilitate the Holy Spirit in our lives? I'm going to use an agriculture analogy, okay? Remaining in John 15, we're looking how Jesus spoke to us about the vine and the branches. So I'm going to give you some ways. Obviously, there could be more, but I'm just going to focus on these ways on how to facilitate the Holy Spirit, how to give it space. Number one, okay, we need to be watering, okay, our lives, watering. We need to give water. We need to water our spiritual lives, okay? How do we do that? By changing our mindset, okay? That's how we initiate reset. Changing our mindset. We implement in our lives, okay, healthy habits. We implement into our lives, okay, daily being in sync with the Holy Spirit. But didn't you just say that change doesn't happen only by willpower? I did. But if we implement into our lives, introduce into our lives, okay, healthy practices like prayer, like reading the scripture, like being surrounded by the right people, like avoiding certain things into our lives that can only damage our lives. When we start bringing that into it, okay, that is the abide in me that Jesus was mentioning too. I need you to abide in me. I need you to be grafted in me. I need you to live off me. Not be listening to that rubbish that out there they want to put in your mind, in your brain, in your soul. I don't want you to be listening to that stuff out there. I want you to be listening to this. This is our benchmark. Not whatever some guy is saying out there on social media. That is not our benchmark. Even regarding scriptures, friends, sometimes we want to get our theology by what we read on Facebook. There is nothing more wrong than that. Let's get these Bibles out. Let's read the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God actually teaches us and says to us. I'm not saying it's bad, but sometimes we get conditioned by whatever's happening out there. So how do we abide? How do we be watering our plants, if you like, by abiding in Christ, receiving our nutrients from Him? That is my second point. We need to be fertilizing. We need to be adding nutrients. People who can add positive and challenging thoughts and perspectives in our lives. I'm glad that I have people in my lives, okay, that are adding those nutrients, that are adding positivity, that are adding faith in my life, that are adding prayer in my life, that are adding all the things that need to be adding in my life so that it can build my faith. I need to be fertilizing my vine. I need to be fertilizing my plant, if you like. And I've mentioned this actually not long ago, observing my father used to have a garden. He used to get manure to fertilize the ground. It used to stink. It used to be disgusting. Probably still is disgusting, okay? But it brings those nutrients, okay? And the same thing, we need to bring those nutrients. Having godly men and women who can be encouraging us? Godly men and women who can be encouraging us, who can be speaking into our lives. Yesterday morning, some of the men met and had a small group, and I'm sure it was a blessed time for you men, was it? John, were you there? I'm sure it was a great time. Amen. Can you speak to that? Yeah, it was a great time. Men coming together, speaking into each other's lives, encouraging one another, and speaking into a way that, and that is beautiful. That's what we called for. That is what we called for. And we don't have to wait around for the pastor or wait around for somebody else. But we come together in whatever setting we feel that we can come together, okay, and be encouraged. That's what we need in our lives. Can I have an amen? Fertilizing. And the third point which I want to bring in, how to facilitate the Holy Spirit. Number one, be watering. We need to be watering our spiritual life, okay? Be receiving. Water is actually the sign, if you like, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Receiving, okay? Fertilizing, adding nutrients, adding from the Word of God, okay? Positive and challenging thoughts and perspective. And then, briefly, I'm heading towards my conclusion now. I want to be speaking to you about pruning. We need to be pruning our lives, pruning our plants, being accountable, okay, for our lives. It is the scariest and at the same time the most life-changing thing that we can bring into our life. When we're accountable, when we come together and we are accountable for one another, not only with our spouses, not only with our parents and children, but also with other people speaking into our, godly men and women speaking into our lives. That people on the outside can look and see the areas of our lives that perhaps needs to be taken away, needs to be pruned, needs to be strengthened, needs to be fruitful. Looking on an agricultural, okay, perspective. Reasons for pruning. This is off a agricultural website. It's not off a spiritual website, off a commentary. This is something I can't remember what it was, Gardener's World or something like that. Pruning, reasons for pruning. Let me give it to you. Dead branches, reasons why we need to be pruning. Dead branches hinder the growth of the healthy components. The dead branches, okay, hinder the growth. Take up resources in places that needs not. When we let a dead branch continue to hang, if you like, okay, on our tree, okay, it will hinder the growth of all the rest. When we're not pruning, when we're not getting rid of things that needs to be get rid of in our lives, it's going to hinder your growth. Okay, second reason why we need to be pruning off this agriculture website is that prevention and treatment of disease. When we're pruning, we're preventing and we're treating disease. Pruning can remove any portions that have a disease, fungi, and other types of decay, stopping it from spreading to the healthier branches. Okay, we are doing prevention. Okay, we are treating when there's disease. Okay, when we're pruning. Another is to encourage fruit production. When we prune, we encourage the fruit production. The fruit is more abundant and stronger. So that's why we need to be pruning in our lives. I can give you other reasons, but I think we're good here. I think you get the idea. We need to be pruning into our lives, the areas and people that need not be in our lives. Things, habits, objects, ideas, fantasies, things that in our minds that need to get rid of, need to get away. We need to be cutting. We need to be getting away. I remember we were newlyweds, and where we used to live, we used to have a backyard, and we used to share the condominium, if you like, with Mariana's parents. And I used to observe how my father-in-law used to do the pruning of the plants. And I used to look at what he used to do. I was young. We were just married. I was in my early 20s. I remember he was pruning the plant, and he would ask me to clean after him. And I thought in my mind, why don't we swap? Why don't I do the pruning and you do the cleaning? Okay? Looks more fun to do the pruning. So I remember on one occasion, he wasn't around, and I decided, okay, to prune the plant myself. I thought, this looks fun. So I had the clippers in my hand. I went towards this rose bush, and I had fun. I had so much fun that when my father-in-law saw it, he nearly fainted. What have you done to my rose bush? I had done too much. I was having so much fun pruning here, pruning there, okay? I got rid of everything mostly, just one little stick in the middle, okay? And he nearly fainted, okay? Why? I was having fun. I was thinking the more, the better, okay? Which is not always right. We've got to be careful. Sometimes, you know, in an accountability relationship, what we tend to do is take away people that perhaps should be more present in our life, should be speaking more in our life, should be encouraging us more in our life. And sometimes we avoid that person or that message. Hey, what are you doing this morning? You want to ride with me to the church? And we avoid. We pretend we're sleeping. We pretend to turn away. We pretend we didn't hear. Okay, that's not the pruning we should be doing. You know the pruning that you should be doing. You know the pruning that we need to be doing in our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. So let me come to a conclusion. By this, verse 8, let me show you this. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let me tell you, the proof of you being disciples of Jesus Christ is not any church membership. It's not any baptism, which, by the way, we're planning on baptism. If there's anybody thinking about getting baptized, let us know, okay? We want to plan one very soon. It's not that. The proof of being a disciple is not how well-dressed we can be on a Sunday morning. The proof of being a disciple is not how much I'm generous towards the house of God, which, by the way, is good to be generous, and we will continue to be generous. We will continue to be investing in God's kingdom. That is not the proof. The proof which is written here, which Jesus says, by this they shall know, is the proof that you're my disciples when you're bearing much fruit. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to bear those fruits in our lives. When we're bearing those fruits, okay, we know that we are his disciples. But not only we, people around us will know. They will notice there is something about us which is different. There is something about us that we are honoring God. When people see the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, and everything else in our lives, this is the proof that you are a son and daughter of the living God.
Thank you for joining us. Also, I wanted to give a special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It is because of you that this ministry is possible. You can visit us at our website, celebrationitalia.com, for more information. If you have enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, share the message with your friends, and if you feel up to it, share it in your stories and tag us at #CelebrationItalia. Thanks again for listening, and don't miss our next episode. God bless you all.